So the question is, are you ready for Christmas? Well, no one's put a hand up yet, so I suspect that the Brussels sprouts are still not on, which is always good news. But have you finished your Christmas shopping? Because you, oh, someone has. This is good, one or two have good, because you've only got about 5 days to go. Well, that should cheer you up at least, won't it? When the Christmas shopping time comes to an end. And at least we won't have to worry about it for another 12 months. But being prepared for an event, being prepared for Christmas, especially as maybe many of you, we've got family coming around at some time, and we're going around hopefully to see our family, depending on what Boris says in this next week. They will have to be prepared. It is no good pitching up, knocking on the door, saying we've come around for Christmas dinner, and they said, oh, well, actually, we're not ready yet. Can you come back tomorrow? That really wouldn't be very good. And if you're expecting visitors, and we will be at some time over the Christmas period, we want to be prepared for them. So what I'm going to do this morning, I claim no originality whatsoever for my thoughts this morning, because I will talk about a little booklet I've got here later on during the service. It's called Christmas in Three Words. And it's taken its time. Ah. Well, eventually we'll get there. I didn't think my sermon was going to be very long, but at this rate we could be sending out for takeaways. It's a bit cold for the computer, I think. Christmas in three words. What, in a sense, if you were asked to describe Christmas in three words, what would you say? This is probably the one we think of most at this time of the year. Father Christmas dragging his sack about crying, ho, ho, ho. And that's it. But So what three words would describe Christmas for you? You might think of opening my presents. I didn't realize the children were all going out because we could have had some fun with the children opening their presents. But anyway, they're going to have lots of fun down there. So opening their presents. Maybe you'll make sure that everything's done and dusted by 3 o'clock so you can listen to the Queen's speech. Get a bit political here, but she almost has more to say about the meaning of Christmas than many of our religious leaders. She's always very, very good and very, very thoughtful in what she says. Or maybe not. Maybe eating too much will be one of the activities of Christmas. We always tend to overeat, don't we? We have a big Christmas lunch, and then half an hour or 2 hours later, we will start on the Christmas cake, and then we'll have supper, and we always tend to perhaps eat a little bit too much. Maybe we're like watching the television, and we're not doing too well here, are we? Can you manage? We got one of them up here. Maybe Morecambe and Wise, I'm not sure they're on this year, but Morecambe and Wise generally reruns from a past era, for those who don't know anything about them, the silly. And I think that's the best way of putting it. But the shows were always a staple in the past, certainly when I was a lot younger, listening to hearing Morecambe and Wise. As I already mentioned, last minute shopping, you haven't got a lot of time left to get to that. And maybe you've got to go to Marks and Spencer's to get those last little bargains. But really, the three words that describe Christmas is Christ is, born. Let's try and move these on. God's preparation for Christmas. This is God's preparation for Christmas. We had it in one of our readings written by Isaiah 700 years before Christ was born, that God was planning for salvation, planning, if you like, for the first Christmas. The term Christmas didn't come in from a lot longer after that. But God was preparing for Christmas. Paul says that the coming of Jesus into the world was just at the right time. God planned it perfectly. And that's gone a bit too far. Stop. This is what Paul says in Galatians. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption as sonship. God prepared for Christmas in eternity past. As God set out, in a sense, in a way we can't understand the whole of history as we know it, right from the beginning of the Bible, right up to the end of the Bible, God had planned and prepared that Jesus would come at just the right time. Nothing takes God unawares. God knew what was happening. God was in charge of the whole of history. And just at the right time, God sent his son. We don't know. We talk about December the 26th, but to be honest, we haven't a clue when Jesus actually came. We know roughly the time in the world's history, but the specific date was not known to us, but it was known to God and revealed to Mary and to those who were involved in that those immediate circumstances. It was God's preparation before time. And Christmas is historical. It really happened. This really is so important, as our Christmases today just get overtaken with all the excitement of it. Some people often want to put Jesus into the same category as Rudolph and Father Christmas and flying snowmen, things like this, and that's got nothing to do with it. Many, many years ago, at another church, a long, long way away from here, so you won't know anything about it, they had a pantomime. Because of the things I was doing then, I went along to this pantomime, which was okay. But right at the end of the pantomime, they brought on a crib and a sort of a nativity scene and tacked it onto the end of a pantomime. Now, we all know pantomime isn't real. We went to see Mother Goose last night, unfortunately. But there we are. One of our granddaughters was in it, so, you know, you have to do these things as grandparents. And of course, it was a chaotic load of nonsense and laughs and giggles and squirting water all over the audience and things like this. And it was okay. But it's just a pantomime. It was all made up. And it happened twice, three times. And it may be happening again. I don't know. It might have all finished by now, hopefully, in the family. And all the cats can have a break. But it wasn't real. And we knew it wasn't real. But the Bible insists that Jesus is a real person. He was born as a baby. He lived a life as a child. We know little of his childhood at all. We get one brief incident when he was 12 years old at the temple. And at that stage, when he had an awakening of his purpose, his mission in life, I don't know about you, I sometimes try and think about how he grew up, and when did he realise that he was different to every other little child around, the ones that he played with, and as he learned his trade and as he grew up. But at the age of 12, we realise, and we are told, that he had an awareness then, a very real awareness, that he was someone different from all the other people. And how that came about, we simply do not know. But Luke records all these things, and he says he's carefully documented them. So he's made sure that he's got all his facts correct. And Luke was a doctor and is also a historian. And so he made sure that everything worked out, that everything was documented that he came across in all that he was working on then. And he got his facts completely right. At Christmas is joyful. Christmas is joyful because God really cares. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. God really cares about people. That is why he sent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've already had most of the readings as the angels came to the shepherds. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And that's the message of Christmas. Harrods, apparently, many years ago, once put in their Christmas catalogue, Christmas is coming, joyful and triumphant in a blaze of splendour. Harrods is brimful of comfort and joy, overflowing with grandeur. Let the glory of Christmas ring out. That's what they thought of Christmas. But of course, Christmas just does not make any difference to what to Harrods and shops and all the things that they're selling. It just comes through the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ, and shopping is really, at Christmas time, can be so hectic that we can miss all the point of it. Sometimes it is not great joy. But God is not distant. God has come to us in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to give us hope in a world which, certainly for the last 2 years, people have realized is a pretty hopeless world. And he's demonstrated the fact that we are not in charge, but that he is in charge. We are overtaken by events that are outside of our control. But he is in complete control. And Christmas is... Christmas is essential. It really matters. We cannot divorce Christmas from Easter. People tend to compartmentalize these festivals, but they cannot isolate them one from the other. Jesus didn't come just into the world to demonstrate God's love, to show us. He came to achieve a great rescue. He didn't just tell us about things and say, this is how you ought to behave, this is what you've got to do. He came in order to die so that he could achieve a great rescue. And Apostle Paul says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. We don't really like to think of ourselves as sinners, do we? Well, not like the people next door. We're a bit better than them, really. And we go to church as well, and they don't. And it's so easy to think that, you know, sin doesn't matter, but God came into the world to save sinners. And we are all sinners. We don't like the term. We don't like to use it. We can think up all sorts of different terminologies to get away, or have had a bad upbringing and things like this. But we are all sinners. And that sin works its way out into our everyday living. And I'm sure we're all aware of it in our own personal lives. The story's told, and it's in this little booklet, and I'll tell you about that later, of the boy in a school nativity play who desperately wanted to play the part of Joseph. Well, who wouldn't? All the girls want to play Mary, all the boys want to play Joseph. But unfortunately, he was only allowed to have the minor part of an innkeeper. Which is, it's just as well none of the children in here for a nativity play, because this is going to upset them or give them thoughts. But during the play, he planned his revenge. He thought about it long and hard. And he waited until Mary and Joseph came along the row of hotels or whatever, knocked on his door. "Do you have any room at the inn?" And with a big beaming smile, the boy said, "Yes, we've got plenty of room. Come on in." And of course, the nativity play descended into chaos. Because that's not what's supposed to happen. And we can be so much like that little boy, thinking that it doesn't matter. We're all rebels against God. And we call it sin. And again, sin is not a word that we like to think about too much these days. But all our problems in life come because we are rebels against God. And we need saving from our rebelliousness. And Jesus has come to do that. And at Christmas, we celebrate the fact that he has come to make reconciliation between ourselves and between God when he went to the cross, as we celebrate Easter. It's all part of this great outworking of God's plan of salvation that he started in the past. He's worked it out down through time, and it will all be accomplished completely and fully in the future.